He said, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, the Lord God said, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. Now the word breath, or the word wind here, and the word breath here, it not only does it mean the wind, but it means the breath of life. It means the same breath that God put in the Adam, that he's saying to the wind. He said, wherever you are in the wind, he said, I need that breath back. I need it to come right back. Do I have any witnesses here? And so what he's saying here, you need some spirit. Oh, you need the breath of life, the spirit of life that makes you alive. He said, I need you to come here slain. Notice what he said to the slain, because some of us have been slain sometimes. We've been slain by people. We've been slain by situations. And sometimes we slay ourselves by causing trouble for ourselves. But so what? How I got slain? All I know is that he spoke to the wind and said, come to the slain, the ones that been beat up. Blow into the breath of life. The ones who've been lied off, blow the breath of life. The ones who've been backstabbed, blow the breath of life in them. The ones who've been sick in their body, blow the breath of life in them. The ones who people say, you crazy, blow the breath of life in them. Do I have anybody that the Lord is blowing the breath of life in? Somebody who's been slain. I've been broke down. I've almost been destroyed because the devil tried to sift me as wheat. But the Lord breathe on me. Do I have anybody here that the Lord has breathed on me? All I can say, breath of life, why don't you breathe on me? Because I need you in my life. When they tried to slay me, I lifted up my hand and said, oh Lord, just breathe on me. Come on and shout yes here and give God some glory. Let's go on to verse number 10. He said, and he says in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came in them, and they began.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welsh Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, and we just want to look at verses 4 and 5. Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It shouldn't be a hard book to find. It's the last one in the Bible. Amen. Bible. Many of us don't have Bibles today. Our Bible's on our iPhone and our iPads and everything. But if you have a Bible, yeah, it's the last book. The second chapter, verses 4 and 5. Read it.
Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Where is the Love? Part 2. Where is the Love? Part 2. I dealt with verses 1 through 4 at our 7:30 service. And just to give you a quick synopsis of this word, or just a tidbit of what was said. Jesus is speaking to the first and greatest church of the seven churches here in Revelation, and he's dealing with their ability to do great works for him, how they loved him, how they operated in his principles, how they held up the bloodstained banner, how they made sure that they stuck to the word of God and judged all things by the word of God, how they were able to tell who was real and who was hypocritical, how they were able to tell those who claimed that they were apostles and they were not, and they were liars. He went to tell them about how he saw their works and their labor and their patience, and he lifted them up and he gave them those accolades because they were worthy of those accolades. Because he says in verse 2, I know thy works. But verse 1 tells us that there were seven stars in his right hand. And that represented the seven churches, but they were lifted up. They were supposed to be the light in the world. They were supposed to be the examples, those for which others would see and emulate. They were the seven churches that were supposed to hold up the bloodstained banner higher than any others. And yet, they were the ones who were supposed to be within that grip of God or Christ's hand that could not fall out. And then he talks about in that same verse 1, the golden candlesticks. And he talked about walking amongst those golden candlesticks. And the reason he was saying that was so that though the churches were held in his hand, he was intimately connected with them here on planet Earth. And he walked through each one of them, noting their works, noting their spirit, noticing their attitude, noting all of the notable things about them that either made them great or made them bad. And so he wanted them to know that he himself was observing, was inspecting every church and every work and every people, so that they would have a firm knowledge that he and he alone was looking at what was going on. One of the things that I think about this seven golden candlesticks, the seven churches that he walked in and amongst here on planet Earth, was to give us a reference of the fact that the Lord is still watching his churches today. He's still sitting up high, and the old folks say, and looking down low. He's still observing how we carry on and how we handle his word, how we handle his work, how we handle one another, how we handle the world. He's watching how we are implementing the principles of his word, how we are walking and talking and living and doing when he told us to occupy till he comes. And so my brothers and sisters, he moves from these three verses and gets to the fourth verse. And in the fourth verse, he says, now all those things I've told you were good in their place. And then he says, using a word that shows he's transitioning from what he was talking about in a positive sense now to a negative sense. Nevertheless. In other words, all the things that you've done, all your record that speaks for you, it's speaking about some things that you have accomplished, but you have left something most important out of the process. And he says, thou hast left thy first love. Thou hast left thy first love. You've done a good job. You're doing a good work, but you're doing it without the power and the presence of my love. In other words, you're going through the motion. You're not doing this because you sense the Holy Ghost's spirit moving and giving a leadership and direction to the move of God and to the movement of God and the work of God. You're just doing it because that's what you ought to be doing. Some of us don't have the movement of the Holy Ghost leading us in the operation of God's work. We're just going through the motions. We're following directions. We're following instruction, but ain't no love underneath our skin. And one of the things that this word is very clear about, and that is that God is love. And those who say they know God must have love in them, because without the love in them, it's expressly clear they don't know God. John says, listen, my little children, God is love, and they who love God must be of God and of love. And so he makes clear, how can you say you love God whom you've never seen? And the person on your pew you got issues with, you turn your nose up at, you whisper, you text, you talk, you act like you are superior and they are inferior. You act like you are the stuff and they are nothing. What are they doing on your pew? No love for those who are hurting, who are wounded, who are weary, who are without. And so we don't share, we don't show the love of Christ to the point where Christ is a part of our ministry and our lives. Notice what he says. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. What I've got against you is not that you're not doing work and not that you're not laboring in the field, but that you're doing both of them without love. I don't need intelligent folk only. I don't need folk with zeal only. I don't need folk who are committed and dedicated only. I need folk who are in love with me and thus in love with the work that I have given them to do, and loving their brothers and sisters and helping to develop and define them into what God wants them to be. But you have left your first love. And so that means it's difficult for people to get saved when they can't see saved folk loving one another. I've seen some messy folk, but I ain't never seen them like messy folk in the church. I've seen some backstabbers. Y'all can get quiet if you want, but I'm going to preach it if I got to preach it by myself. But I ain't never seen backstabbers like I've seen in the church. I've seen some folk who claim they love the Lord and hate their brothers, but not like in the church. I've had folk to lie on me and talk about me, hang my name on every corner, but not like in the church. And yet we're all going to heaven anyhow. Something's wrong with that picture. Something's wrong because folk who are in the world can tell whether the love of God is in the church by the way church people not treat them, but treat one another. And if we can't love one another, how you think we're going to love the world? The same world that the Lord loved, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And it's our job, who those of us who are loved by the Lord, to go into the world and love the world with the love of God. But when you've left your first love, it's no power in your witness, it's no power in your work, it's no power in your labor, it's no power in anything you do, because the power of God is in love. Now, here's what I want you to know, that the word says you've left your first love, not lost your first love. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. If you haven't lost your first love, then you can go back and get it. And this is really what Jesus is talking about. You have left it, but you haven't lost it. But you need it, and you need it now. Listen at verse 4. Verse 4, he does something that's so very important. He makes clear as he registers his complaint. That's one of the things I love about the Lord. The Lord will let you know how it is, and he'll be real with you. You ain't got to worry about, wonder about how he feels. He'll tell you how he feels. He'll speak to your heart through his word. He'll make very clear where he is, how he stands, and how he expects you to stand. And so here he registers his complaint. But in verse 5, listen to this. He does something a little different. He does something differently because after he has registered his complaint in verse 4, what he wants us to understand now is how we can restore ourselves back to the place where we are operating in the love of Christ. He gives us three simple points, and I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going on home. Point number one. He says, you've got to remember. Got to remember. You see, the problem with a whole lot of church folk is they forget where they've come from. They forget what they used to be. They forget what they used to do. They forget all of the things that the Lord has delivered them from and all of the things that they have participated in. And when they get holiness, they act like they're holier than him. And when they no longer feel like they need the Lord, that they're operating on their own power, own strength, because now they have been saved. But yes, they've been saved, but they don't understand that there is a continuing work called sanctification. He's still working on you. He didn't just save you and set you to the side. He saved you, and he's steadily, by the power of the Holy Ghost, working on you, getting you right, making you better, defining and developing you to become the best that you can be. And we forget what the Lord has done for us. We see people in the church, and they come, and they look this way, that way. And we forget we were young once, or younger. We forget that was a time when we weren't as well-versed as we are now, that we weren't as well put together now as we are now. That was a time once when we were less than our best. And we've forgotten what the Lord has done with us and for us, and has placed us in a position for us to help others, but we become too bigoted and caught up on ourselves and don't remember. He says, first thing, remember from whence you've fallen. Remember from whence you've fallen. Now, this means two things. First of all, remember the place that you used to be with God. High, lifted up, full of joy, full of love, full of power, full of his anointing, full of his blessings. Man, you would, when you walk, you just oozed Jesus. People just knew the Spirit of the Lord was all on you. You didn't have to holler, the presence of the Lord is here. They see it every time you walk by. It's in you. He's in you. And man, you used to be in that joyful place with God. Now you can't even get you to smile. You say, think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done. You looking all around wise and otherwise because you don't realize that he's still good to you. But you see, when you move from that point of loving him, then you stop thinking he's loving you. But he's never stopped loving you. Reminds me of a couple that had left church one evening. And they were riding down the road and got to a red light. And the wife was sitting on the passenger side, almost outside the door. I told you that before. And she looked over and she saw a young couple. And oh man, they were just as joyous and happy. And she was almost inside his chest. She turned and looked at her husband. She said, what happened to us? Why have we changed? And the husband was sitting there driving before the light took off. And he looked back over and smiled. He said, we changed? I'm in the same place I've been. You're the one hanging out the window over there. He was telling her that the same place she used to be, she can come back again. Things happen. Situations happen. Problems come up. Life happens. Storms come up. And so we find all of those things inch us away little by little by little from the love that we used to have. You remember how passionate new love used to be? How you couldn't even sleep in, how you couldn't even eat, how you got all giddy, how you'd call on the phone, talk for hours, get tired, hang up, take a break, call back a minute later. What you doing? Talk for more hours. Y'all talk so long that nobody's talking anymore. Somebody says, you sleepy? Then you say something stupid like, I'm sleepy, but I ain't sleeping. It's time to get off the phone. Remember the times when you used to, think constantly about that loved one throughout the day. When you first got saved, same thing with Jesus. You couldn't wait to tell folk about Jesus. The joy you had, the love you had, you left it. It didn't leave you. He's in the same place he's always been. But you've got to remember where you left him at. What did you leave him for? Who did you leave him for? What is the thing that now consumes you, that removes you from his love? Well, sometimes it's family, sometimes it's job, sometimes it's, money, sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's this, that, and the other. But whatever it is, here's what you need to know. The Lord Jesus is right where you left him. And when you get tired of the emptiness and the void and the vanity and the stuff that really can't bring you joy, can't pick you up, can't give you what you need, the only one who can do that is Jesus. He says, so remember where you've fallen from. You were in a high state, a high place with me. You were in a place where everyone knew we had a wonderful love affair. I love you with an everlasting love, the Lord says. I never left you. I never left you. I never left you. But you left me. And I'm right here waiting for your return. Second thing is, he says, repent. Because you don't just walk away from the Lord for anything less than the best and think it's all right with him. See, you've got to recognize that you have made the church, the individual, have got to realize you've made the choice to leave the Lord, to separate from him, to disconnect, to go in another direction. He was the best thing that ever happened to you, and you walked away from him, and now you want things to be right again. Well, the only way they'll get right again is if you return to him. When the prodigal son had a love interest other than his own home and his countrymen and his father, he took all of his goods and he left and went to a foreign country. And he partied and enjoyed himself and had a good time until all of his money ran out. And there he was in a hog's pen, feeding hogs, eating the hog's food until he remembered. How many hired servants do my father have with food and enough to spare? I'll arise and go back to my father and tell him I have sinned and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And so he remembered and he got up and he repented. He repented. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of our problems when it comes to us recognizing how messed up we are is that we don't want to take responsibility for what we've done. You can blame everybody every day about everything, but the truth of the matter is you've had a part to play in that. What is your part?
What have you done? And it's